I fought in the battle with courage all gone. But this is the reason I always go on.
Jesus is with me, my shepherd and guide. All that I need, he is there to provide. That makes a difference, this friend by my side. Jesus is walking with me.
I've suffered some loss. I've felt on my shoulders the weight of a cross. I've wept in the darkness and wished for the light. But somehow His presence gave songs in the night.
Jesus is with me, my shepherd and guide. All that I need, He is there to provide. That makes a difference, this friend by my side. Jesus is walking with me.
I've savored success, rejoiced in my blessings, in more than in less. I've tasted the good life while praising His name. But sunshine or shadow, He's always the same.
Is with me, my shepherd and guide. All that I need, He is there to provide. That makes a difference, this friend by my side. Jesus is walking with me.
Jesus is walking with you today. Amen. I hope He is your Lord and Savior, that you've accepted Him as that. Amen.
Amen.
If you haven't, I pray today would be the day of your salvation. Amen.
Amen.
It's good to see you in the house of the Lord this morning. And it's always a good time to be with the Lord's people in the Word of God. And the Word of God is the most important word you'll hear in this life.
Amen.
And too many times we discount that. We allow this to be the least visited book that we put our eyes on. And we tell the world we believe the Word of God is powerful and we never touch it. And my prayer is that we would change that in our lives. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Now, I wanted to go one step further from what Brother Alex said, just mentioned. I know everybody getting their phones on vibrate, silent. That's a great deal. But I do want to say, for quite some time, I notice there are some people who just can't seem to get away from their phones. And I'll just say, young men, I will embarrass you because I'm no longer going to be distracted by it. The Word of God is powerful. And if you want to distract somebody, I don't know why you're here. Amen. Genesis chapter 25 this morning. You're only teaching your children that church has no value in your life. Your wife, that you really don't have a concern. And it is my duty to be a watchman of your soul. Genesis chapter 25, go down to verse number 19. Genesis 25, verse number 19 says, "And these are the generations of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife, the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian of Padanaram, the sister to Laban, the Syrian. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren, and the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah his wife conceived. And the children struggled together within her, and she said, 'If it be so, why am I thus?' She went to inquire of the Lord, and the Lord said unto her, 'Two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels, and the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger.' And when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red all over like an hairy garment, and they called his name Esau. And after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold on Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 80 years old when she bare them. And the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field, and Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob. And Jacob sod pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, 'Feed me, I pray thee, with the same red pottage, for I am faint.' Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, 'Sell me this day thy birthright.' And Esau said, 'Behold, I am at the point to die, and what profit shall this birthright do to me?' And Jacob said, 'Swear to me this day,' and he sware unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink, and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright." Let's have a word of prayer. Our fathers, we come into your house this morning. We are thankful that you walk with us. We're thankful that we don't walk alone. Father, there is no way in this life we could make the journey without you and without your help. And I thank you for your presence this morning. I thank you for those that are here to hear the Word of God. I pray that you would just speak through us this morning, that the power of God would be on this service, that the hand of God would be upon us as we preach what you've put in our heart. And I pray if there's someone here this morning that is lost, that has never accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, I pray today they would see their need. They would understand that they, without you, they're lost and without hope. And that the only way they will ever see heaven or enjoy eternal life with you is through the blood of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that you would help us today. We need you. Help us to be serious about the things of God. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Very familiar story we're looking at this morning here in Genesis chapter number 25, the story of Jacob and Esau. And this morning, the Lord has just put some things on my heart, and we're going to dig a little bit more into Esau and Jacob. But I wanted to just begin by laying forth some things about their birth and some things and the importance of our decisions
I want to look first of all at the importance of our decisions on the lives of our children. And then I want to look at the children of Jacob and Jacob and Esau individually as well. I know that there are many ways and many angles you can look at this story and preach this story. But the Lord has laid upon my heart to bring forth these thoughts to you today. As we read this morning, if you read and understand the Word of God, Isaac was 40 years old when he married Rebekah. For 20 years, Rebekah was barren. For 20 years, Rebekah was not able to have a child. And so Isaac prayed to God and asked the Lord to open her womb, and he did that. And these twins were born when he was 60 years old. Now they struggled within Rebekah. The Bible tells us that. We just read that. These two boys struggled in the womb even before birth. Now, any of you mamas, even if you haven't had twins, if you've had boys, no matter how many years apart, there's a struggle, right? But they were struggling, and Rebekah went to the Lord and said, "Lord, what is going on?" And he said, "You have two nations within you. There are two peoples within you, and the older will serve the younger." Now, I just want you to see, if you read on through, in verse number 28, the Bible says, "And Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob." And I want you to look very just closely at the decisions that Isaac and Rebekah made. Now, the two, probably the two things in anyone's life that's pretty much common to all people, all of us are very different people. Everybody is different. Thank the Lord. Amen. It'd be a boring world if we were all the same. But there are two common things that people desire. I don't care who you are, where you're born, or what the fact is. The two common things that everyone desires, first of all, is acceptance. Everybody wants to be liked or loved by someone. Is that true? Everybody. I've never met anybody that didn't want to be somebody like them or accept them. That's why some people go to great extremes to fit into a certain group, because that certain group accepts them. You wonder why people go off on a limb and they're like, "What in the world is up with them?" They just want to be accepted by somebody. And the greatest fear of all men and women is rejection. Nobody wants to be rejected. Young men, when you were eyeing that young lady, those of you that are married today, you were eyeing that young lady, what was your greatest fear before approaching her? That she would say, "No." What? Your greatest fear was that she would reject you. Your greatest desire was that she would accept you. And that's a common thing. And these young men, Jacob and Esau, that were born to Isaac and Rebekah, their greatest need was acceptance. Their greatest fear was rejection. And we see right off the bat that Isaac and Rebekah made a huge mistake in the fact that, yes, these boys grew up. Esau was a rugged man who was in the field. He was a hunter. He was more of a, what you would call a man's kind of man. He was out in the fields. He was good with a bow, and his dad loved the deer meat that he brought home. So Isaac loved Esau. Showed him favoritism. But he did not show that to Jacob. Rebekah loved Jacob because the Bible tells us he was a plain man. He dwelt among tents. He was the kind of guy that never got his hands dirty. He's always, you know, there's nothing wrong with looking nice, dressed, you know, but he was just a different man. Different type of individual. He didn't have a desire to go run through the woods. But Rebekah loved Jacob. Something that we can do if we're not careful, and this is just pretty much kind of an introduction moving towards these decisions, but I want you to see this. The decisions that Isaac and Rebekah made put consequences on the lives of both of these boys. Because of the decisions they made while they were very young. Now, we've got to be very careful as parents, the decisions we make with our children and the relationships we make with our children. Yes, you will have children that you just click with. If you've had more than one, you'll realize you're going to click with one of them, and the other one you're going to be like, what in the world is the problem? That communication is so different. I'm sure it's not that way at y'all's house, is it? Communication is just completely fine with everybody, right? No, you have that connection, and you've got to be careful with those connections. Some of my children, they understand me. When I say something, I don't have to spend 10 minutes trying to explain why I said what I said. And the, you know, but then some of them are like, what? What do you do that for? It's that communication, and we all have that difference with our children. We've got to be careful that we don't just decide, well, you know what? I'm going to love him, and I'm not going to love her. I'm going to love, you know, and we show that favoritism, and we've got to be careful because it lays consequences upon the decisions that they will make in their life. Now, God told Rebekah, you've got two different nations in your belly, and he said, the elder will serve the younger. Now, the best thing she could have done was to go to Isaac and say, you know what? I just got back from talking to the Lord. These boys are struggling, and the Lord told me they're going to be two different nations. The younger one is going to be over the elder, and that's just how it's going to be. That's the way God intended it for to be. And you know what? They should have gotten together, and they should have said, okay, we understand this is the plan of God. This is what God has purposed, and we're going to love them both. And we're going to do what we can for both of them to help them make the best decisions moving forward in their life. But that is not what they did. They took sides. Now, to kind of run through the story, and for sake of time, we're not going to read all the chapters involved in this. But you remember, as we just read, Jacob, by name, he was a deceiver. He may not have ran through the woods and pulled out a bow and arrow, but buddy, he was as slick as they come. He was a deceiver, the Bible says. That was his name. He was deceptive. He was quick. He could have sold an ice cream machine to an Eskimo. He was just that kind of a guy. It's all right. You can laugh. My wife's probably going, whatever, honey. But he was that kind of a guy. He could sell anything to anybody. He was deceived. He was very deceptive. I mean, he sold a bowl of lentils. It didn't even have meat in it. He sold a bowl of lentils to his brother for his birthright. This dude was good. It caused them to be against each other. And instead of Rebekah taking Jacob to her husband and saying, the Lord told me and showed me that he was going to be over his brother. He is the one that needs to be blessed by you. Instead of doing that, she connived with Jacob at an early age that, you know what, you are the one that's been chosen to be over Esau. We've got to devise a way to make this all work. You know what Rebekah did? Rebekah acted as if God needed some help. Rebekah took in her charge what God had already put forth. And she connived with him, and Jacob found his chance. Esau comes in from the woods. Couldn't find anything. It was a bad day hunting. I've been there many times. And he comes in, and the Bible says he tells Jacob he's about to die. And we know he's not about to die. But he comes to Jacob, tells him he's going to die. Jacob's like, here's my chance. His mama probably had taught him how to make a mean lentil soup. And Esau smelled it as he was coming to the house. And you know the story. He sells his birthright for this bowl of soup. Notice there was a decision there. We're going to look at that. There was a decision on Jacob's side and there was a decision on Esau's side. We're going to look at those in just a minute. But what I want to help you understand, we just got off of talking about sowing and reaping. And the Lord is kind of just funneling all this into the same idea and the same understanding that we need to get a grip on the fact that everything we sow into our children, we will reap in our children and they will continue to reap. It's almost like we've gotten, in a sense, to a place where we think the Word of God shows us and tells me that Jesus Christ paid for my sin. Yes, He did. Hallelujah. I am so glad because I have no way of paying for my sin. But the problem people forget, especially after they're saved, is that He never said He took away the consequence of your sin. And everybody today wants to say, well, I can just do whatever I want to do because I'm saved by the grace of God. I'm going to heaven. You are forgetting about the consequences and what it's doing to our younger generation. And if I don't stand up and tell young men that when I became a man, as Paul said, I put away childish things. I have never seen young men so wrapped up in childish junk in my life. Never before have I seen it so childish. Young men don't want to grow up. Paul said, when I became a man, I put away childish things. It didn't say that as I became a man, those things just kind of went to the side. No, he said, I made a conscious decision to put away childish things. We got a bunch of kids trying to raise kids because they won't put away their childhood. Decisions we make today. You might think, well, my child is very young. My child, you know, it's got a few years. I can still, you know, and I'll get things straightened out when my child gets a little bit older. And as things get... No, let me tell you something. Your children learn a lot before you even think they're paying attention. The way you act, the way you react to each other, they pick up on that before they can even talk. Amen, they do. What I'm trying to say to you this morning is we've got to get back to where we realize every action that we have in ourselves causes a consequence. Yes, your sins are forgiven when you come under the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, He paid for my sin. But let me tell you something. Yes, the grace of God is why we are saved today. But we forget there's consequences that follow. And nobody wants to talk about it anymore, it seems like. But the Lord is pressing me. I mean, it's just like every time I go before the Lord, and I'm just going to be very transparent. There's many times like, Lord, can I preach on, you know, something else today? Can I preach on the forgiveness of God? Can I preach on the mercy of God? Nope, son, go over here. And this is what I got for you. But I'm just telling young people, you must understand every decision you make right now affects your children and their decisions as they move forward in their life. And the consequences don't go away. When we see Jesus Christ for the first time in heaven, you know what, Brother Greg? He still has nail prints in his hands. He still has the open cloven side. And that brow that's all torn apart from that, that's still there. That's the consequence of becoming sin. Some of y'all are thinking, what? Yeah. After He rose, what did He tell Thomas to do? Thrust your hand in my side. That means his side is still wide open. That means the scars are still all over his head. That means he still appears as if when he was on the cross. And for eternity,
when you see Jesus and when you talk to Jesus, you're going to be seeing the effects of what sin did. Now, some people, you all sitting here is like, I don't really believe that. Well, I'm just telling you, sin leaves scars. Now, before we move forward, I do want to help you understand. When you sin, you get right with God and you confess your sin. Yes, He pays the penalty. He forgives you of that sin. He will help you overcome. He will be right there with you. He will walk with you. He will talk with you and He will help you. I'm not trying to preach doom and gloom. If you've made mistakes, that's not what I'm trying to do today. But it's almost as if people don't care the decisions they make because, well, I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. Yeah, but look at the life you're creating for your child. If you look, and I'll try to sum this up as quickly as I can. You'll notice they showed favoritism. Because of that favoritism, there was a breakdown in communication. You know, me and my dad were talking about this issue back when he was here a few weeks ago preaching close by, and we were talking about young people and why, you know, some of the decisions they make in children, and just trying to help people that have maybe had some wayward young ones that they're trying to gather back in and pull back to the Lord. And I said, you know what, it's kind of just like Esau here, because Jacob got the birthright, and Jacob dressed up. If you remember, Rebecca said, here, go, let's kill a goat, put the skin on you, and let's deceive your father. Let's deceive him into thinking he's Esau, so he'll bless you. She was trying again to take over God's plan, like God needed help. No, God didn't need help. But what it made Esau do, Esau knew that he should not marry of the people he married of. You can go, let me show you something. Go with me to chapter 26, verse number 34. And Esau was 40 years old when he took the wife of Judith, the daughter of Beri the Hittite, and Bashemath, the daughter of Elon the Hittite, which were a grief of mind unto Isaac and to Rebekah. A lot of times your children will make decisions knowing that it's against what you have believed and taught, almost because they know they can't physically go after you. So what's the best way to get to you? Go and do something that you've lived against, taught against, been separated against all your life. Amen. Esau knowingly knew he was not supposed to marry outside of God's people, went and did it anyway. And it was a grief to his mom and daddy. But it was because of their deceit towards him. It was because he lost what he was, you know, it was because of the way that Esau was brought into this change of the way God was going to allow the younger to be served by the older, the younger to be blessed and not the older, because in their culture it was the older brother that was supposed to be the one with the blessing. And if they would have gone about it the right way and said, you know what, son, God has spoke to us and God has shown us that you will serve your brother. If they had went about it God's way, I believe it would come out a lot different. I'm just trying to help you in just a few minutes to see. Esau started making decisions totally against what they believed. Decisions. Decisions. It was stemmed from the decisions they made when he was younger, that deceitfulness that was allowed. Now, let me just try to simplify this and bring it home. I want you to look at Esau, where we read just early on there in chapter 25. He came in from the woods, said he was dying, smelled the pottage, sold his birthright. Because of what had been instilled in the life of Esau, Esau was prone to make temporary decisions, not thinking about the eternal consequences. Esau was a man that made quick decisions, not looking at the future. Right? He sold his birthright for a bowl of soup. Okay? You say, well, how's that? Well, there's a lot of people today that are making decisions for temporary pleasure, desire, you know, satisfaction, whatever the case might be, not thinking about the eternal or the future consequence that comes with it. Well, it can be financial too. Some people run out, well, I need a new car. Let's go get a new car. Yeah. Not thinking about the payment that comes a few days later. Right? A lot of people do the same in their life. Well, you know what? This would be the best thing. This would work out for us on a physical level. This would be a lot easier for us on a physical level if we can make it this way or that way. And the children won't, you know, they're little right now. They're not, you know, we'll just make these decisions now and then we can change things later. And people are throwing away the future of their children and the future of their lives, not thinking about it because of the temporary change they want and the temporary gratification they want. People are doing it every single day. Temporary decisions, not thinking about the eternal consequences. Am I telling you the truth? Young men, be very careful because the devil will try to get you to make very quick decisions based upon temporary trouble, whatever you might, well, I need to get out. I'm just under such pressure. You know, Esau was not seeing reality when he said, I'm going to die. You know what? All Esau had to do was go in the house, and I'm sure his mom, I mean, even though he wasn't the favored one of Rebekah, I'm sure she probably would have maybe fed him. He could have probably found something to eat. But when you get to that point, he was allowing the temporary circumstance to overcloud his decision making, and there's a lot of people that are doing that today. Parents are doing it every single day with their children. Not thinking of their future, they're thinking of the right now. What's easier for me right now? Esau was giving up things in the future for temporary physical satisfaction. We have a culture that amazingly is doing this day in, day out, day in, day out. Men taking their own time, not spending it with their children for temporary satisfaction for themselves, to be accepted by other people, whatever the case might be, throwing away that future for their children. Ladies doing the same thing. It's all over. I want to look at Jacob real quick and we'll be done. Now God had blessed Jacob. In Genesis chapter number 28, After Rebekah got him into this mix with his father and put the goat's hair on him and you know, he went in before him and she made this, you know, stuff that tasted just like what Esau made, and she said, here, go take this to your father and we'll trick him into blessing you. And then after that, she told him, she said, now you're going to have to run. Well, why is that? Well, Esau happens to be a big burly guy and he's good with a bow. So now you got to run, son. We've deceived your dad, but now you got to run. And there's so many times that it's like people don't see the fact that you will just keep running when you make these decisions based on temporary things and temporary feelings and temporary circumstances. The problem is you continually have to keep running for more and more of the temporary fulfillments. One bad temporary decision, you're going to have to run and get... I mean, you must understand every temporary decision you make causes another temporary decision to have to be made. This decision has to be... It just keeps going. She said, you're going to have to run. Run to my brother's house. You know the story. I want to look at very quickly in Genesis chapter 28. Verse number 10 says, and Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran, and he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took off of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and laid down in the place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set upon the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed, and thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth. And thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south, and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillows and set it up for a pillar and poured oil upon the top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel, which means the house of God. But the name of that city was called Luz at the first. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God, and this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house, and of all that thou hast shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. So Jacob, as he's leaving and as he's going away from home, after his mother has got him entangled in all this deceit with his father, the Lord appears to him in a dream. And basically tells him, yes, it's true, I'm going to bless you. Blessing is upon you. I'm going to bless the land you're in. All this, he gives him forth this blessing. And Jacob realizes something. He was fearful when he woke up. He was afraid, the Bible says. And he said, this is a dreadful place in verse number 17. But what he realized, what God was trying to show him, was that the communion with a living God was what he needed. He needed to stop trying to connive and trying to be deceitful, that his mother had taught him how to be deceitful, how to twist and turn and get what he wanted and get what he needed. And God was saying, you know what? I am the one that's going to give it to you. You need to rely on me. And what young people need to understand is this. Stop trying to make temporary decisions with physical, temporal things to overcome the circumstances that you might be in, and start looking and communing with God. If you're saved by the grace of God, you are His child. Do you realize you are a child of Almighty God? And the last time I checked, He still owns everything. Everything. And He still knows everything about your life, down to the last breath you just took, the last heartbeat that just was on your heart. Every single breath, every single heartbeat is there. The communion with God. Now, this is the thing I want to show you. Genesis chapter 32, the next thing. Genesis 32, verse number 24. You remember this part of the story? It's a few chapters down. This is right before Jacob is going to meet Esau. Verse number 24, and Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. When he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. What I want you to understand is, I want you to see the challenge, what God is wanting you to do. The reason God sent this angel to wrestle with Jacob, well, the whole fact of the matter was, the last time he had told somebody who he was when his father asked him, who are you? And he said, I'm Esau. The angel said, who are you? He said, I'm Jacob. You know what? The struggles that you go through in life, the struggles that you go through where you're making your temporary decisions to just kind of relieve the pain and overcome the temporary circumstance, you know, the struggles that God has you in, most of the time God is just trying to get you to see who you really are. The trying of your faith worketh patience. Right? Is that what your Bible says? Okay. What God is trying to do, He's wrestling with you. He's struggling. Anybody ever feel like you're wrestling with life? I don't know, maybe you're not there. Just hang on, it'll come. But if you're wrestling, God is just trying to get you to see and to say who you are. Now here's something. When the angel asked him his name and he told him, when the angel left him that day, the Bible tells us that Jacob walked with a limp from that day till he died. Jacob no longer walked the same way he was before the angel helped him see who he was. Here's the biggest problem today that I see, and what the Lord laid on my heart to tell you, is this. Here's the problem with people. People are in the struggle, but normally they're not willing to realize who they are and what they're doing wrong. They just keep making the same decisions, like it's going to outcome with something different the next time. They're in the struggle, but they're not realizing, wait a minute, what am I doing? Young men, I think some of you need to sit back and get a piece of paper and say, really, what am I doing? What decisions am I making for my home? What decisions am I making for my children? What am I doing? Because this is what I see. I see people in a struggle, but I don't see many people getting touched by God. Because when you get touched by God, you will never walk the same way again. It happens when you get saved. You're a new creature, right? You know what happens after you get saved, and you might get away from God or whatever, and God puts you in a struggle to help you see who you are and what you are. When you see that and He touches you, you will not walk the same. You won't. God told Moses, you can't bear to look at me and live. When God touches you, don't think for a minute that when God touches you and helps you see who you are, that you won't be a different man. But that's the problem today. Nobody wants to change. Because you have to admit, I was wrong. You might have to admit, my mom and dad were wrong. My grandma and grandpa were wrong. But that's where we're at today. Nobody wants to say, you know what? Daddy was wrong. Not many daddies want to sit down with their kids and say, you know what? I was wrong. I've been doing wrong. But from this day forward, God has touched my heart and helped me see who I am. And I'm going to change from this day forward. People, stop praying for revival if you're not willing to change you. I get tired of people say, well, we need revival. But you haven't prayed and asked God to touch you and change you in years. You want everybody else to be revived. No, the prayer should be, God, touch me. David didn't say, search them, O God. No, he said, search me, O God. And that's the problem today. Too many people are so prideful, they won't ask God, Lord, look in me and reveal to me what is wrong and touch it. And then the last thing I see is, if you go to Genesis chapter 33, I'm not going to take a lot of time here, but you'll see where Jacob and Esau, we see the chance of reconciliation. See, when you get the communion of God right, and you begin to allow God to touch you and change you, the next thing that comes into play is, even though your parents were against each other and conniving towards you, you know what happened with Jacob and Esau? They reunited. They got things right. One big evidence of somebody being touched by God and walking in a different way than they've ever walked before is you will start seeing them reunite and reconnect with people they've had aught with for years. We need to allow God to touch our lives. We've gotten into a culture where we don't want to change because we're not willing to say, you know what, we have been walking down the wrong path. Every time people in the Word of God, where the Bible says every man was doing right in his own eyes, that's when they got into a lot of trouble. That's where we're at today. Everybody wants to define the Scriptures. Let me just ask you this. If God wants everybody in the world to define their way of Scripture, start reading the Word of God and find out why He sent preachers. Because the culture today, and I'm not saying this because I am a preacher, I'm just saying there is no respect for men of God anywhere. And I know they're not all good. There's bad ones out there, but there's bad members too. But the thing is, no, everybody wants to go home and redefine the Scripture to their kids and say, well, I know the preacher said this, but... You know what? You're going to stand before God. When God gives me the Word of God for this people, if you discount it and walk away from it, you will stand before God for everything that was said out of this pulpit. Because I will stand before God if I don't tell you what He tells me to tell you. And that's the only reason I bring what I bring here, is when God says, that's what I want you to say. I love every one of you. I want to see this church grow. I want to see these young people grow up and be on fire for the Lord. I want to see this. I mean, I want to see them when they're having children. Amen. Walking in the right paths and walking in the right way and still worshiping God and praising Him. But men, if we're not willing to say, you know what, Lord, I'm not where I ought to be. I'm not where I ought to be. I'll say that with both hands in the air. We all need to get closer to Him each and every day. And there's things in our lives, I guarantee you, if you just ask Him and you allow Him to touch you, He will touch something. Amen? He will. We just got to be willing to be changed. Let's pray. Father, we love You. We thank You for this time. I thank You for Your Word. I pray for every individual in this place.